again, thank you for joining us for worship. I hope you have enough supplies and that you are staying well so far. A crisis like the pandemic seems to bring out the best and the worst in all of us. I don't know if you saw the video. Did you see the video of the three adult women fighting in a grocery store for the last package of toilet paper? I wouldn't have gotten in the midst of all of that. Anyway, you know, it's alarming also that sales of ammo and guns have also soared. A man said, you know, I'm buying a gun to protect my family. People are crazy out there. Who knows when they're going to come after my toilet paper? He was serious. And I thought, what a strange combination, TP and ammo. And then it dawned on me, they both have the capacity to wipe us out. All right, there you go. And yet, on a positive note, I've been inspired by all the people who are trying to help, especially those in the front lines, the first responders, the medical staff are literally putting their lives on the line to help others. Many other folks are finding creative ways to stay connected. That's happening here in our church in marvelous ways and across the community and across the country. And I'm also grateful for those who are able to maintain some kind of a sense of humor in the midst of it all. One of my pun pals sent an email last week, and the message, which I could not help but embellish, said something like this: hearing the jokes about toilet paper isn't very charming. TP or not TP, that is the question. It's Scott to stop soon. Well, you know, we should be soft and gentle. This is Northern to laugh about. Is this some kind of vast two-ply conspiracy? It's hard to absorb it all. I'm just kind of wiped out. I need a tissue. I have to go now. I'm feeling flush like three sheets to the wind. But we've got to get to the bottom of this. So I'll just try to roll along with it all and leave it all behind. There you go. I can't help myself. Speaking of behind, today we're thinking about hindsight. And we continue with our Lens of Lent sermon series. And we've read some powerful narratives from the Gospel of John, the story about Nicodemus, the well woman, the blind man. We thought about oversight and insight and revisioning our understanding of Jesus' identity and the abundant life that Jesus offers. And today I'd like to take a closer look at the story of Lazarus in John 11. This text, this story is pivotal and powerful. In John's Gospel, the account of the raising of Lazarus stands out. Some describe the first half of the book as kind of the opening act or the book of signs. And the raising of Lazarus is the seventh and last and perhaps the greatest of all of these signs. So far, he has healed three people, turned water into wine, multiplied loaves and fishes, and walked on the water. That's not bad. After six innings, the score is 6-0, and Jesus is in control. But in the bottom of the seventh, the most formidable opponent of all steps to the plate, old death himself. The previous miracles, very, very impressive, but Jesus will have to bring out his best stuff to rise to this challenge. And the story's location in John just magnifies its significance for all of us. This is the culmination of the signs that Jesus works in this gospel. This story powerfully sets the stage for the passion story which follows. This story is about death and what Jesus has to say about the matter. In fact, it is loaded with death-related images, one after another. Jesus and the disciples are hiding because of the threat of death. They come out of hiding because of a death. And we find ourselves wondering, just whose death are we talking about anyway? When the disciples reach Bethany and the drama unfolds, the details seem to point even beyond Lazarus to Jesus himself. Lazarus's wake-up call seems to be the direct cause of Jesus' death. After this seventh and greatest sign, the authorities meet. They have a board meeting. and they condemn Jesus to death. A big part of this story seems to be very dark and heavy and foreboding. You know, there's terminal illness and danger in a grave and a death sentence and fear and long shadows and ominous music and gloom and doom. But let's not miss the message in the middle of the story. You know, as Stephen pointed out this morning, Jesus' behavior is so odd for the Son of God. Do you remember how he acts when he first hears the impassioned pleas from Mary and Martha's messenger? You know, does he rush back to be with Lazarus? No, old Mr. Compassion hangs around for two more days. He would have flunked pastoral care 101 in seminary, I'm convinced. Not good. You'd expect him to catch the next burrow to Bethany right away. And this nonchalant attitude is just kind of weird because these are his close friends. In hindsight, Mary and Martha are glad to see him, I guess. Martha says to Jesus when he finally shows up, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. The sisters have every right to be irate. Why didn't you come running? Why didn't you come running when you first heard the news? But into the midst of the gloom and the doom and the darkness and death, Jesus speaks words of light and life and hope. And the scope of this story is immense, and the real power of the story is contained in the enormous contrast here. You know, death strikes, and Jesus brings life, and death strikes out. And Jesus' words to Martha come at exactly the right moment. Right in the middle of this tragic drama, Jesus turns to her and he says, I am the resurrection. Do you believe this? Someone has claimed that our greatest fear as human beings is death. Would you agree? He said we may tame our economic problems, but even with a very comprehensive health care plan, it won't solve death, right? We build hospitals for much the same reason as we build bombs, as a means to avoid or delay or escape death. We are jerked around by death, and it will not go away. And when we forget the lessons of the past, it all gets worse. Those who fail to learn from history are condemned to repeat it. Remember who said that? Churchill. Churchill many years ago. Winston Churchill also said, the farther backward you can look, the farther forward you're likely to be able to see. But we seem to repeat the same mistakes again and again and again. We observe the 75th anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz, yet incidents of anti-Semitism are rising around the world. 6 million people died during the Holocaust, 1 million in Auschwitz. But in a recent poll, only 66% of millennials knew about the camp. History and hindsight are critical for us to help see clearly as we move into the future. We have to hang on to our stories. In this pandemic, we are echoing Martha's words, I believe, if only we had known how contagious this virus was going to be, if only we had taken the warnings more seriously, more quickly, if only we had started testing earlier. As Australia and South America burn and plagues of locusts consume crops in Africa and glaciers melt, we say again, if only. If only we had taken climate change more seriously sooner. If only we'd paid attention to the signs years ago. And yet, even in the midst of troubling and terrifying situations, when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Jesus proclaims, I am the resurrection and the life. This has been my experience as a pastor when I've been with you when you have lost beloved family members and loved ones. I've stood by the grave with many of you, and I've watched you grieve. And I've seen your faces too as the reality sets in that one day others will be grieving because you have passed away. And yet as darkness begins to surround you in those kinds of moments, Jesus comes again speaking words of light and life. And in difficult times, he offers assurance. We have been there before. We will be there again. We answer the phone and hear words that break our hearts. We stand in the hospital room, shifting our weight from one foot to another as we helplessly watch the shadows creep closer. And that doesn't even begin to include the hundreds of little deaths and losses that hound us and haunt us. You know, loneliness and broken relationships and unemployment and illness and feelings of uselessness. Fill in your own blanks, because a lot of those are being heightened right now at this time. These are common experiences for all of us, times when our lives are coming apart at the seams and our words make no sense in the midst of it all. There appears to be nothing in our power to hold it together, and we grasp for something to hold on to. We long for hope, and there are times when we can find it in hindsight. It has been said, that hindsight is 20/20, right? Why was Martha able to say, "If only you had been here"? Because of hindsight. Because of hindsight, she had seen what Jesus could do. She'd seen the miracles. She remembered the healings. And here we are, 2,000 years later, tempted to say again, "If only, if only." But because of hindsight, we know. We know the stories of Jesus. We've heard of the miracles. We remember the resurrection. And we give thanks because of hindsight. One of our church members sent me a note about a near-death experience she had in the past year, and she gave me permission to share it with you this morning. She wrote these words: "Several weeks ago, I talked with you about how troubled and bewildered I was when I failed to encounter angels or see a bright tunnel of light when I was so very, very ill. I was afraid that I really didn't understand salvation or had somehow completely veered off the heavenly path. And while I still cannot claim to have all of the answers, I believe I understand things a little better now. It finally dawned on me that it was simply not my time to depart. And the presence of God and God's love were all around me, through the doctors and nurses and therapists and family and friends and ministers and colleagues and complete strangers who continuously reached out to me and encouraged me." She said, "All those people helped me find my path on earth. And so I'm regaining strength, and I'm gathering a supply of candles to be ready to spread some light and love to others who are in need. I want everyone to know that I am finding my way back." Friends, we long to see that light at the end of the tunnel, right? And sometimes it's a bit faint, but it's out there somewhere in the future, somewhere we believe it'll get better. And then there are other times when, you know, suddenly, boom, here it is, right here, and we're in the midst of it. And at other times, the light at the end of the tunnel is behind us. And we're called to find our way back. But wherever we are, and whatever we are facing, there are words that ring out through eternity. I am the resurrection and the life, and you can believe this.